Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Masango.
Greetings, how are you doing?
Greetings to you as well. I hope you are well this afternoon.
I'm fine, thanks.
Lovely. Welcome once again to the Adventist World Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Now, Seventh-day Adventists believe and practice the biblical custom of baptism by immersion in a similar way that Christ was baptized by John the Baptist. Over the next few days to Friday, we'll be exploring the practice of baptism, its purpose, its significance, even in modern Christianity, actually. Now, Pastor, what is the meaning of a baptism? What does it actually symbolize?
Thank you very much. Baptism, as we all know, it is a symbol of death to sin. When we look at baptism, there is a method that is used for a baptism, which is to immerse in water. And baptism comes from a Greek word, which is baptizo, which means to immerse, fully immerse. All right, so we are saying baptism, it comes from the word baptism, fully immersed in water. That means that we are having what is called a watery grave. Because when you read the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 4, the Bible will tell you that baptism is a death to sin. So when you also put that together with Colossians 2 verse 12, it will tell you that it is burial in Christ. You get to Romans chapter 6 verse 4 to 5, it will tell you that it is a resurrection to new life in Christ. So as we're looking at those three verses, what we're learning is that when we look at baptism, it is the death to sin, burial with Christ, resurrection to new life. So this water becomes a watery grave where one is buried. Remember, when we are burying somebody, we don't leave the hands out, we don't leave the legs out or the head out. They have to go in deep so that the whole body is immersed in water. So that is the reason why we are having that watery grave, so that the whole body is planted in the grave and then you are resurrected with Christ. These are the stages that we have: death to sin, burial with Christ, and then resurrection to new life in Christ. And then Acts chapter 22, verse number 16, then says cleansing from sin. We are not saying the water is for bathing. No, it's not for bathing our sins. But it is a symbol to say, I am acknowledging my sinfulness and I need Christ to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The water becomes a symbol. Not that the water has got cleansing power. It is Christ who has cleansing power from sin. So this is the symbol or significance of this repentance and a new birth in baptism.
Now, what is the purpose of all this? What's the purpose of baptism? Now, you've explained its immersion, etc. But what's the actual purpose of this whole exercise?
Right. The purpose that it is a public commitment to Christ as Lord and Savior. You are saying, I am acknowledging of my sins, my shortfulness, and I need a Savior. And I want the whole world to know my declaration, the whole world to know my commitment to God. Just like a wedding, we make a public confession. Have you ever met a young man who is in love? He is so excited about his relationship. He wants the whole world to know. He can even stand on the tallest buildings and shout to let everyone know that I am in love. And this is what baptism and a relationship to Jesus Christ is. You are making a declaration. It's like a wedding. You want the whole world to know that you are engaged to this one. Mm. And they have to come and witness publicly what you have confessed or what you have engaged yourself in. So I have read Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20. It will tell us that this is a public commitment to Christ as Lord and Savior. Mm. It is also an introduction into the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 42. You are being introduced as a new member into the church. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, this is a new member who is joining us. And the way of joining us is through baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what the sons of Jacob did when their sister Dinah was raped by that young man. And they said, for you to become part of our family, you have to be circumcised. Although they were deceiving him, but their idea was correct, but the motive was wrong, because they eventually killed that young man and his whole family. But the idea was to say, for you to come and join us, you need to be circumcised, and that is how you can join our church. And in the New Testament church, we are saying, for you to be part of the church, you need to be baptized, which is a declaration and introduction into the church. We are also following the obedience of Christ's command, according to Mark 16, verse number 16, which is the obedience to Christ's command, where he says we need to be baptized. And it is also a personal affirmation of faith, repentance, and conversion. And also Christ, our Lord and Savior, he was baptized. Remember, John says, no, I can't do this to you. Why do you want me to be baptized? I'm not worthy. And Christ says, to fulfill all righteousness. So baptism serves as a testimony of inward transformation by the Holy Spirit and confirms that a person has accepted God's grace and forgiveness. That is the purpose for baptism.
Mm. Now, where does it come from? Where does it originate from?
Baptism is biblical.
Mm.
It is from the word of God. As mm-hmm. I have already said, Christ himself was baptized.
Mm.
Even before Christ was baptized, John was already baptized.
Mm.
So baptism is this root in Jewish purification rites. Yes, where they were symbolized by cleansing and spiritual renewal. It was adopted and transformed by John the Baptist, who baptized for repentance in preparation for the Messiah. So as John was ministering to the people, he was saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Meaning to say, he is the forerunner for Jesus Christ. And those who are being baptized are preparing to meet Jesus Christ as John is ministering. And when we meet Nicodemus, God says, Jesus says, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven until you are baptized.
Mm.
So there is the need of baptism in order to meet with the Savior. John is baptizing so that people can meet Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ introduces baptism to Nicodemus so that he can meet God. So when this ritual or this idea is introduced, it is for the purposes that the children of God should be able to meet with the Lord. John is baptizing. Jesus introduces baptism. The apostles also baptize. So this is an idea that has continued for ages. It is not something that is just recent because the church has been established. It has been there from time immemorial for the purposes of introducing the children of God to God and himself. So we are saying Jesus also attained and elevated baptism by being baptized himself, is reading Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17, and later commanding it as part of the Great Commission, as you read also in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19. So we are saying baptism is something that is very old. It has been there, established by God himself, for the purposes of his children to introduce them to himself.
Mm. Now, can one be saved without being baptized? I'm sure before baptism, people were being saved.
Yes. What we are saying is if the opportunity is available, get baptized. Why am I saying so? Mm. Some of these issues remain privy to God himself, and to some of us, we don't have information.
Mm.
Why am I saying so? With exceptions of people who wanted to be baptized, but they never got a chance to be baptized.
Mm,
mm. I've always shared the story of my friend. He was ready to be baptized on Sabbath.
Mm.
On Friday, the cows went astray, crossed the river, and it was a rainy season.
Mm.
His father was a very hard man. And the young man could not cope alone without the cows. And what did he do? He braved the river and jumped into the water.
Mm.
The water was so powerful, it took him away and he died.
Oh, man.
It was a sorrowful thing. I was hurt.
Mm.
I was heartbroken to know that my friend had been swept away by the water.
Mm.
Just a day before his baptism.
Mm.
But I believe because he had prepared himself and he wanted to meet the Lord, I'm sure we are going to meet him. Yes. So while a baptism.
Pastor, I can hear you. I think you got broken there for a moment. Yeah.
All right, sorry. While baptism is commanded by Christ and is normative for believers, it is not an absolute requirement for all salvation in all cases.
I see.
Let's underline all cases.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because there are exceptional situations where somebody is receiving Jesus Christ on the deathbed. Remember the thief on the cross. Luke chapter 23, verse 42 to 43. He was saved without baptism, demonstrating that God judges the heart and intention. When the time is not there, God has got a way of saving us.
Mm.
But when the time is available, Paul says, let us not hide in our hearts. Let us take that opportunity and get baptized, because we don't know what is going to happen to us tomorrow. So it is important for us, whenever an opportunity has been awarded to us, let us get baptized. This is what the Lord wants from us.
Mm, mm, mm,
so the Lord is looking at the heart. He knows the intention. He knows that you have a chance to get baptized. He knows that you have heard his word.
Mm.
And he is talking to you to say, when the time is today, get baptized. Don't wait for tomorrow. There are exceptional cases that are allowed to not to be baptized.
Mm.
But to those who have a chance to, they need to be baptized.
Does it guarantee salvation?
That's a very interesting question. Well, baptism is not a measure of a guarantee of eternal life, because people change. You can be baptized today and tomorrow you decide to live another life.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are saying is, you have been baptized and you continue in faith, living in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are going to make it in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So it must be accompanied by genuine repentance, faith, and daily walking with Christ.
Yeah.
Baptism alone is not enough.
Mm.
Without ongoing faith and obedience, baptism becomes merely an empty ritual.
Mm-hmm.
It will be just like bathing. As you read the church manual, it will tell you that it is a testimony of faith in Jesus Christ, and it must be preceded by his trusting and acceptance of biblical teachings. So, which means that when you have been baptized, as you read the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19 to 20, there's an imperative to go to baptize. Sorry, to go to teach, to baptize, and to teach. So there is continued learning. You don't just get baptized and it's enough. Yes. So these things go together. Baptism, learning, and living the word of God. These should be combined and not separated.
Well, Pastor Matlangu, I must thank you so much for coming through. It is a fantastic one, and I do hope that you have a great afternoon further. We've got to be talking to you once again tomorrow, same time and same place.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
Thank you. Blessings to you. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.